Y'all got me? Can you hear me, Marge? Mark chapter 16. Hey, what a blessing that was seeing Jasmine up here, you know? Amen. Hey, it takes a lot of, it's hard to get up here and do this. And Jasmine has got a gift, man. She can sing. Did y'all hear that? That's pure. Some people can sing and some people can sing. You understand what I'm saying? And Jasmine has been a blessing to Danielle and I, and we watched her grow up through the youth here, and she's just a good lady, and we're so glad that she's a part of our, she is a part of our family. Amen. She's a part of our family, she always will be, and we just love her. Jasmine, that was an encouragement to me, and I'm thankful for that. So, what'd you come looking for this morning? What'd you come looking for this morning? I don't know how this message is going to go, but I believe this is what God has called me to do here this morning. And to be honest with you, I've struggled with it and how to present it. And I just want to be an encouragement to you. Not a discouragement, but an encouragement. But we have to be honest with ourselves, too. Because if we're not honest with ourselves and our condition and our lack of love and our lack of heart, and we're not going to be honest with God if we can't be honest with ourselves. And so y'all be praying for me while you're there in the seat, that God would just speak in and through me exactly what he once said, how he wants it said, and just know that I'm hoping it to be an encouragement to you that might light a fire under us, because that's what we need as Christians. We need this. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, just one verse to start us off, and I'm going to be all over the Bible today. I talked to Pastor last night and Randy, and they were coming through Kansas, and I think they're going to make it back in time, and he asked me what I was preaching on, and I told him, and got my father-in-law's approval and my pastor's approval all at one time. And Randy even said, yeah, get it. So I'm thankful for them and pastor, and get them back here safety. Thanks, Pastor, for this is the first time I've spoke here on a Sunday morning. I've done Sunday nights before, but Sunday morning, this is the first time. So he must think something of me to have me up here. So I'm thankful for that as well. Let's get into it. Y'all be praying, okay? Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's pray. Lord, I need you this morning. And Lord, I just want to be a clean vessel that you can use here this morning. Lord, there is absolutely nothing good in me except for you. And Lord, I don't want to be a discouragement. I don't want to come across as a negative person this morning. I don't want to come across as fussing, Lord, but I just want to be an encouragement to everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, Lord, including myself. I need to hear this message, Lord. You've meant this for me as I studied this week. There's no doubt about that. So, Lord, we just pray that you would move amongst us here this morning. I hope and pray, Lord, that every person here has come to hear from you this morning. Not me, but to hear from you. And Lord, that your will would be done in every heart. Lord, if there's people here this morning does not have a relationship with you, Lord, please reveal yourself to them that they would understand that, Lord, acknowledge it, and get that matter settled here today. We're going to thank you for what you're going to do. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. I hope that you would agree with me that there are many, many, many needs today. Many needs today. There's a need of peace. There's a need of food in some situations. People are starving. There's a need for clothing. There's a need for jobs. There's a need for friends. There's a need for loving families. There's a need for godly fathers. There's a need for godly mothers. There's a need for godly grandmothers. There's a need for godly grandfathers. There's a need for godly Christians. There's a need for godly church members. The list goes on and on and on. We heard some needs here this morning. We need people for the play. We need people to help in nursery. There's always a need. Always a need. And there's no doubt that when you think about these needs, they are very important. And especially if you happen to be dealing with one of those needs personally in your life right now. It's extremely important to you if you are going through one of those trials that has created a need that we spoke of, or maybe not a need that I did speak of, but you understand what I'm saying here. Needs, there's all kinds of them. But I believe that the greatest need, or at least one of the greatest needs today, is evangelism. Amen. Is evangelism. Why do you ask that I say that? What makes me say that? Well, most of you know that Danielle and I and our family, we've been over the course of the last 2 or 3 months, we've had the opportunity to go and visit and minister to some other churches. And these churches are without pastors, either because their pastor is sick or maybe they just don't have a pastor. You know, and you go into these places, and one of the things I have found in most of these situations is it's basically the same situation. You have a church that's down to 20, maybe less than that. I have preached, Damien has preached to a church that had 3 people in the audience, and it just kind of makes you think, how in the world did a church get in that condition? Now, Danielle and I believe that God has us exactly where He wants us right now. This is my home church. But we believe, based on some circumstances that's happened since the first of the year in our life, that God has been priming us to fulfill this need to go into some of these churches and just love on people and be an encouragement to them, because they have no pastor, they have nobody to preach to, and they're not wanting to throw in the towel. But I'm going to be honest with you. As I got to thinking about this, I'm like, you know, there's a part of me that wants to ask these churches, and they've all welcome them. They're loving people, loving churches. You understand what I'm saying? We have felt welcomed everywhere we've been. But there's a side of me that wants to ask them, hey, why don't y'all group of 10 or 12 or 15 get hooked up with this other group of 10 or 15 or 20? Y'all are only 5 or 6 miles apart and become one church. I've thought about that. I've never asked them. But I have thought about that in my mind. These people have very low attendance. And here's another thing. It's an older generation. And when I got to thinking about this, and Danielle got and I got to talking about this, God started dealing with me some things. And when I look at these churches and wonder what happened, it just dawned on me. I can't help but think about my home church, Valley View Baptist Church. Valley View Baptist, right here where we're sitting. See, we may not think that something like that could happen to us here at Valley View Baptist Church. But let me tell you, it can. Bobby Andrews just told me last Sunday, he went to a church to preach and had less than 40-some people, and they used to run over 400. See, we just don't think that this is possible. No, this is not going to happen to Valley View. No, we're going to be around forever. We're always going to have a group of people to step up and make things happen. We're never going to be down in low attendance. Well, let me ask you this. Why are so many other churches suffering on attendance? Why are there so many other churches that don't have full-time pastors? Why is there not a church from Mill Creek all the way to Natural Bridge, maybe Mill Creek, that don't even have a youth minister? There is something terribly wrong with that, folks. It's terribly wrong. Something is wrong with that. There's no fellowship. There's no pastors. There's no activities in this church. There's no youth programs. And I can tell you why. One of the reasons, if not the main reason, is because somewhere down the road, people stopped evangelizing. As we talked about this morning in Sunday school, Paul was in the Sermon on the Mount teaching on worry. And we got to talking about that God's going to provide the food. He provides everything for the birds. He provides for us. Some people will take that to mean that they don't have to work, that they can just pray and all of a sudden food's going to fall out of air. Look, can I tell you this? Apply this spiritually. Whether we like it or not, God's design is to use us Christians to reach the lost world. Should we pray that our church pews should be full? Absolutely. But can I tell you, it's about time that we start putting feet on our prayer life. God's design is to use Christians to reach the world. Somewhere down the road, those churches that are suffering, on the verge of dying, somewhere they stopped evangelizing. Evangelism. What's it mean? I looked it up and I found this definition. It says the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching. The spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching. It doesn't stop there. Or personal witness. It ain't Pastor Boone's fault that every seat in here is not taken. Amen. It's not any pastor's fault, completely his fault, that there's no church growth. It's easy to blame the pastor because he's the leader. It's easy to blame the deacon because Stanley's the deacon. But my Bible tells me that we're all called to go preach the gospel message. And I'm telling you, if we do not get refocused as a Christian, and we do not get refocused as a church, in 10 years, this church will be 20 people and the average age will be 65. That's not a downplay on anybody that's working in this church right now. That's not a downplay on Pastor Boone. And I'm not criticizing you because I'm part of this church too, and it's me. It's high time that we start evangelizing again. Y'all like that? Evangelism, the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. See, it's easy to blame pastor. That's the easy way, or any pastor, for a dying church. But we are all called to spread the gospel message. Let me ask you, just for a minute, you don't answer out loud, but answer with a true heart. How are you doing with that? I got told Damien and Brianna, so y'all bring some index cards and we're going to hand them out at the door and give everybody a pen. And I want everybody to write a name down that they witnessed to this year. Me included. I'm not preaching that there's not anybody on fire for the Lord and people aren't. There's pockets of people witnessing. You know, there always will be. Until Jesus returns, there will always be pockets of people witnessing. But I'm talking about overall. Overall. Think about that. How are you personally doing with evangelizing? Is Valley View Baptist Church on its way to becoming a church of 20 people with no youth program, searching for someone to do pulpit supply? I didn't even know what pulpit supply was. These churches started calling me and said, hey, can you be a pulpit supplier? What are you talking about, pulpit supply? I had to look it up. It means preaching, filling in preaching. I didn't know that. Are we headed that way? When Pastor Boone retires, and it will be one day, are we going to be one of those churches 10 years from now, if he's still preaching 10 years from now, that when he decides to hang it up, we have no plan,
We've done nothing to grow our youth program. We've done nothing for the middle age group. We've done nothing as a church to do anything besides pray about it. If you're a member of Valley View Baptist Church here this morning, or even if you're not, if you're thinking about it, joining the member, I'm talking to you, and I'm one of those people. We better wake up, because if the Lord don't return, this church, I'm telling you, will be completely different in 10 years if we don't change. The greatest need, or one of the greatest needs in today's church, I believe, is for us Christians to do what we are already called to do. If you're searching for the will of God in your life, read His Word. Because He asked all Christians, based on that verse, to go out and to preach to everybody. We need to evangelize. Now, there are several reasons why the need is so great. What's Romans 3:23 say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are hundreds of people dying here in our own community who are dying in sin. John 8:24 says, without Jesus, they will die in their sins. And hey, the world will tell you the worst place to die or the worst way to die is to be drowned or in a car wreck or in a fire. Lack of oxygen, cancer. Let me tell you the worst place to die. The worst place to die is in your sins. Based on John 8:24. Some of these folks that I'm speaking about, this lost world, it's a condition that's even in our own families. And unless we do something to meet this need, souls will be lost forever. And attendance will continue to decline. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? There are a lot of congregations that have lost their focus. And because of this, church attendance is down drastically in most places. More and more Christians are dying or simply just falling away, and very little is being done to turn more people to Jesus. And unless us, and I'm including myself, do something to meet this great need, Valley View Baptist Church will not exist one day. Unless the people in those smaller churches that Daniel and I have been visiting do something to meet the need, they will cease to exist completely one day. It's getting harder and harder to find people to come and preach. Hey, this ain't a downplay on those people. Thank God those ones are faithful, are still going. And it's been, you know, maybe I should ask them to come to Valley View. But look, their heart's there. I was using Stanley and Shelby as an example Wednesday night when I was here. I can tell you right now, when nobody else is here, it'd be Stanley and Shelby. And Stanley will be on the phone, or Shelby, one of them, asking somebody to come and preach just to them too. And I ain't talking dogmatic to them or being negative to them. I'm just saying that this is your church. And when you're in this church and you've seen the things that's taking place in this church, you don't want to throw in the towel, no matter how down it gets. But look, Stanley and Shelby can still witness, but it's time for a new generation. It's time for the torch to be passed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Middle-agers, if you want to grow Valley View Baptist Church, go tell people to come to church. Invite them to church. Love on them. Tell them. Don't tell them about all of our problems. If we want a youth program, somebody step up and say, I feel like the Lord is calling me to be the youth leader of this place, and get out and win the youth. So the need is great to see others saved and to save our church, so we need to evangelize. Do you agree with me? We need to evangelize. Yes. Why do we struggle with this? Why are we not meeting this need currently? Well, for some, it's just a lack of concern. Just admit it. You know, if you don't have a concern or a burden for your lost family members, the first step of getting better at that is to admit it to the Lord. Lord, give me a burden for my family. Give me a burden for my lost coworkers. Give me a burden for my friends. Forgive me for not having a concern for them or a burden. Admit it. Just admit it. He already knows your heart anyway. He knows my heart. A lack of concern. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We, some of us, have lost the concern, or we're not concerned, or have a lack of concern for the cause of Jesus. What's the cause of Jesus? For the Son of Man is to come to what? Seek and to save that which is lost. We just talked about it a little bit ago. His design in doing that is what? Using us. If you don't like his design, then you take that up with him. That's what he says. Romans 10:1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that we, as that they might be saved." Some of us, unlike the Apostle Paul, were not concerned for those lost and dying in sin. John 15:2, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Some of us are not even concerned that our own welfare is at stake here, and we're simply not bearing any fruit. That's a scary verse for a Christian right there. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Have we become so hardened that we simply no longer care? It's a lack of knowledge for some. They just don't know that's what they're supposed to do. It's just a lack of knowledge of what God has directed us to do, a lack of knowledge of God's design. Another thing that we need to improve upon is discipleship. When someone gets saved, a discipleship class. Someone to take that man or woman or kid under their wing and disciple them and teach them what God says. Because you don't automatically get saved and realize that you're supposed to start evangelizing. It's a lack of knowledge. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." Some people don't know that verse. They don't realize that's what they're supposed to do. They think it's the pastor's job or the Sunday school teacher's job or the deacon's job. A lack of knowledge. Maybe it's a lack of knowledge of what to say or what to do. And John 1:46 states this. It just said, this just simply come and see. Meaning, hey, go to somebody at Dollar General and say, "Hey, won't you come? You going to church anywhere? You're not going to church anywhere? Won't you come and see what Valley View's like?" You ask 10 people and one family comes, that's one more than what we had before we started. Come and see. It's really as simple as when you go to tell somebody about Jesus, you don't have to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Just simply tell them what Jesus has done for you in your life. Tell them what you believe and tell them what you've done about that belief. It could be as simple as that. Are we willing to make an effort to learn, to apply what we have learned so that others may come to Jesus? For some, it's a courage issue. Courage. They're afraid. We're afraid of what? We're afraid of being rejected, because nobody deep down inside likes to be rejected. Is that a fair statement? mean, let's say you get on fire for the Lord and you go out this week and you invite 10 families or talk to 10 families and 10 families just shut the door in your face, or if 10 people shut the door in your face, I can understand from a fleshly side how that would be discouraging. But we shouldn't be, because we're fulfilling the great commission that He's asked us to do, and we're being obedient to the Lord. Let Him do the rest. He's not. We can't save nobody anyway. So why not just share your testimony with people, tell them about your Jesus and what He's done in your life, and leave the rest up to God. Don't get discouraged. Are we afraid of what someone might say to us? Well, Matthew 11 and 12 says this. Jesus said this. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, the Lord says in that. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Don't be afraid. Are we willing to overcome our fears? Are you willing to overcome your fears to save, or to see those get saved that are currently lost? Another reason we're not sharing gospel is because we have a lack of faith. We don't believe in the ability of God. Now, if I ask everybody here, you have faith? You're going to shake your head, yeah, because that's what we're supposed to say. But do you have faith? Have you lost your faith in the ability of how big our God is? Have I? James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given of him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. That's a promise from God. That's a promise. 2 Timothy 1:7-8, for God hath not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Are we willing to have faith and to trust God that others might come and be saved? We may have lost our focus. We are distracted by the things of this world. The busyness of life. Prime example yesterday, homecoming. You know what homecoming is to these kids these days, y'all that's old, my age and older. After a homecoming dance, you went out and played football, and you got your butt reared, your end handed to you most of the time if you went to James River, except for Larry. And then guess what happened? You'd go into the locker room, you'd put some kind of clothes on, and you'd take your butt to the cafeteria, and you'd dance, right? That's what you do. You know what they do today? You got to go out and buy $150 dresses. You got to go take them to dinner. You got to walk through Main Street and take 1,000 pictures that you'll never look at any of them ever again. Yesterday, we were so busy, was we not? Now, I love my kids, and I'm glad they're having a good time, and I want them to have a good time with it. But I'm telling you, man, I'm just using that as a one-day example. It was a nightmare all day long. Run, 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 run. It's like that all the time. We get distracted by the things of the world. There's so many things going on in our life. Man, we couldn't make it in our household without a calendar. We got one on our phone, and we got one on the side of the refrigerator. We even write down what we're going to have for dinner Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Amen. Exactly what we're going to have. Damien comes in and reads it, so I got to go somewhere that day. We've lost our focus, distracted. Luke 8:14. And they which fell away, no, excuse me, they that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and they're choked out with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to perfection. You know what that means? We sat in here, right? And I've done this. I've sat right in here in these seats before and made commitments to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better this week, Lord. I'm going to do this. I'm going to witness. And no sooner than I get home at 12:45, guess what? The phones start ringing. Jobs start coming in. We got the calendar we got to look at. And you automatically get so cluttered up and busy that you done lost thought. Lost all total thought of what you committed to the Lord. I've done that. Luke 21:34 says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life." We are trying to do the impossible. We are, as Luke put it in Luke 16:13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." We're trying to do the impossible. We have a love problem. 1 John 2:15-17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." We have a love problem. And this really could be the main reason that we don't evangelize. A heart problem, love problem. Because we simply do not love God the Father or Jesus the way that we should. Are we willing to seek the kingdom of God first? Do we want to see Valley View Baptist Church grow? Not for us, just so we can say we got a bigger crowd. Not so we can give Pastor Boone an increase. But because we love people and we want to see people get saved and we want to see people have a relationship with the Lord. And then the older generation, Stanley, you can kick back and take it easy a little bit more than what you are now and pass the torch, keep witnessing, keep doing whatever it is you're doing, but pass the torch to the next generation. Man, I'm telling you, we do a lot of finger pointing and it's always somebody else's fault. Before you start blaming somebody else in the church, the pastor or another church member, you better say, ask yourself, when was the last time that I talked to anybody about what Jesus Christ has done in my life? So whatever the reasons, and we went through a lot of them, and I'm sure there's more, for not meeting, in my opinion, the greatest needs, or one of the greatest needs, and that's to evangelize, there's really no excuse for it. If you are here this morning and you have a real relationship with the Lord, I'm sorry, but there's just no excuse for us to not go out and evangelize. There's no excuse for it. In fact, it's a sin. Let's look at a few reasons. I only got 45 more minutes. Y'all hang with me. Let's look at a few reasons why we all need to be personal workers. I'll speed up, I promise. Right off the bat, we should be doing it because Jesus said to go and make disciples. We should be doing it because that's what he said to do. Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe." The Great Commission is not fulfilled until we are making disciples. You become a Christian, you learn somebody disciples you, somebody has poured into you, then you take what your knowledge are and how God's worked in your life, and you grab a hold of another young Christian man or woman, and you mentor to them, and you disciple them, and it just keeps going on generation to generation. We've gotten it all out of whack. We don't, you understand, that's what it is in any church. We need to do it because we love one another. Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." We're to even love our enemies. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What greater love can we show to someone than to show others the way to salvation? Have you ever led anybody to the Lord? There is absolutely no greater feeling in the world. Amen. I remember when Andrew Moran, I'm going to use you, Andrew, and I hope that's okay. We used to work together at Lawrence. He was a mechanic. I was a pretend mechanic. I said I was a pretend mechanic. Y'all supposed to laugh right there. Andrew knew I was a Christian. I had told him before I was praying for him. I told him, if you ever need anything, let me know. I remember one day he came and got me in my office and said, Brian, I need to talk to you. He said, what's up? Because I want to know how to be saved. I said, I'll be right back. I went to my truck. I kept one of my little New Testament Bibles. Andrew came up into my office, and I said, I want you to read it. I took him down Romans Road, and I let him read it. And he said the sinner's prayer right there in my office. And Andrew, I hope and pray that that was real to you. There was absolutely no, I came home and I told Danielle, let me tell you, it was like unbelievable. There's no greater feeling in the world than telling somebody about Jesus. Even if they don't come to know you, know Him as His personal Lord and Savior right then and there, you're planting seeds. And there's absolutely no greater feeling in the world than to serve in Jesus Christ. Amen. None. Second Corinthians, I'll speed up here, 5, 10, and 11. Paul mentions the terror of the Lord. And I think that Paul used that motivation and understanding the reality of the judgment day and souls lost on that judgment day. It moved Paul to action. It moved him to action because the Bible says that we will all be judged for the good things and the bad things here, right, on earth. That motivated Paul to go out and evangelize. Probably the greatest missionary ever. Luke 15:10. I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. 3 John 4. I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in the truth. John said there's no greater joy than seeing someone come to know the Lord and walk in that truth. In closing, flip over real quick, Acts. I'm almost done. Y'all stay with me here. Stay with me. Stay with me. Acts chapter 2. Verse 37 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 47. The Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from the untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of the bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold the possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and the breaking of the bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, to be like that church right there, the early church. Look, the greatest need in the church is to get back to the original mission, and that is to go out and preach God's word to every person that you come in contact with. And the greatest need for the Christian is to realize that by God's design, He wants to use us for that mission. And we need to start evangelizing. How are you in sharing God with others? A good place to start is to make a commitment to the Lord right now. Who's God laying on your heart right now? And this week, go talk to that person. Start off one a week as the Lord leads and see if it don't make a difference in your life. And it could make a difference in this church, in the life of this church. It's time to be honest with God. And look, if you're here this morning and you have no idea what I'm talking about, you know what you need? You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. That's exactly what you need. It don't matter if you're a member of a church. It don't matter if you come faithful to every service. Either you have a relationship with the Lord or you don't. Don't walk out these doors and not know for certain that if you was to go out on Route 11 and get T-boned and die, that you wouldn't end up in heaven. That would be the most foolish thing that you could ever do. I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Do your part. Do your part. Go out and tell people about Jesus. That's what we need to do. Amen? Amen. Paul, you can come on up.